Well, greetings, my friend, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk introducing you to another old-fashioned Christ-honoring gospel program called The Voice of the Gospel. And friend, today I want to direct your attention to one verse of Scripture as we find it in Job chapter 36 and verse 18. Job chapter 36 and verse 18. Here's what we read. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he, meaning God, take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I've read to you one of the most solemn verses in the Word of God. It is one which demands the attention of everyone listening in today. Yes, it is a verse which should permeate the heart and soul of every unredeemed sinner within the sound of my voice. Listen to it again. This is Job 36 and verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Now, it wouldn't surprise me at all if some of you are even now reaching for the radio knob to turn to a more appealing program. You just don't like to hear about the wrath of God, and you refuse to believe that God would cast a sinner into hell. Well, friends, I'm not here today to argue with you. I'm here simply to bring before you the Word of God. And the Word of God makes it quite clear that anyone and everyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will spend eternity suffering under the condemnational wrath of a sin-hating God. Now, friends, the first thing I want you to notice about the wrath of God is the certainty of it. The certainty of it. Our text, Job 36 and verse 18, declares quite emphatically, because there is wrath, beware. Beware. Over in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, we're told that all those who believe not the truth shall be damned. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, friends, that's pretty strong language, I'll agree. But it's still God's word. And whether you believe it or not, it will in no way detract from the God-given fact that those who reject God's love must ultimately encounter the wrath of God. Now, friends, time doesn't permit us today to go into the many times we read in the Word of God about his wrath. We're told that he drowned all but 8 souls in the great flood. He brought fire and brimstone down upon the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He opened the earth and swallowed up the families of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And, friend, if God would allow his sinless Son to suffer the terrible death of Calvary's cross, then you can be sure that his wrath will fall upon all those who reject the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, listen. God's word declares that there is wrath for the Christ rejecter. So that settles it. If God says it, let God be true and every man a liar. Now then, friends, the next thing I want you to notice about the wrath of God is the nature of it. What's the nature of God's wrath? We've discussed the certainty of it, but what about the nature of God's wrath? Well, friends, again, we must find the answer in the Word of God. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, we're told that the nature of God's wrath is everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Then over in Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us that the nature of God's wrath is an eternal destiny in a place called hell. There we read about a man who died immediately. He lifted up his eyes in hell being in torment. Yes, he didn't even have a drop of water to cool his parched tongue. Friend, listen, whether you believe it or not, the fact remains, to reject the love of God manifested in his Son simply means that you'll suffer the wrath of God in the place of torment called hell. Back in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 15, we read that whosoever is not found written in the book of life is to be cast into the lake of fire. So that's it, friend. God, not I, but the God of heaven declares that those who reject his Son as their personal Savior will be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ time and time again tells us of a place where the fire is never quenched. Friend, listen. If there were no hell awaiting the Christ rejecter, then the entire Bible is void. Unfortunately, many people profess to believe in a heaven but refuse to believe in a literal hell. Friend, listen. The Bible is the only valid authority we have for the existence of a heaven. and it's likewise the only valid authority we have for the existence of the hell. So deny one, and you must deny the other. Deny either one, and you're calling God a liar. Now, still another characteristic of God's wrath is its duration. Its duration. And already I quoted you scripture which tells us that it is everlasting. It's never ending. It's eternal. Yes, just as the Christian receives eternal salvation, so likewise the non-Christian will receive eternal damnation. Here's what we read over in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night. You know, some people have the devil-inspired idea that God will change his mind someday, and he'll let the people out who are now in hell. Others believe that they'll go to hell for a brief purifying period, and then be ushered into the glories of heaven. Listen, friend. Listen. This is nothing but spiritual rubbish. The Bible is quite clear. Once in Christ forever. And likewise, once in hell forever. Back in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 14, we're told, Now we know that what things soever God doeth, it shall be forever. Did you hear that? We know that what things soever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. And God doeth it. Why? That men should fear before him. Yes, friends, a loving God faithfully warns the sinner that once he drops into hell, that sinner will be weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth forever and forever and forever. My, what a solemn thought. And why does God say that he does this? That men should fear before him. You know, a lot of people continually criticize me for preaching about the wrath of God. But friend, listen. The greatest hellfire preacher who ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd far rather pattern my preaching after the Son of God than after the modernist preacher with his lovey-dovey, mamby-pamby social gospel concerning the universal fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Sure, if I wanted to please my fellow man rather than God, I could preach a watered-down gospel too. But friend, listen. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I want you to know I'm doing so in love for your soul. And someday I'm going to stand before my Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll have to give an account as a steward of the manifold grace of God. I must remain faithful to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday. Now, the next thing I want you to notice about the wrath of God is the place of his wrath. The place of his wrath. Well, we've already mentioned several scriptures which make it quite clear that the place is called hell and ultimately the lake of fire. Over in Psalm 9 and verse 17, we read that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Again in Isaiah 14 and verse 9, the sinner is reminded of the fact that hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. And then I think of that solemn pronouncement over in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Listen to this, sinner friend. This is Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part. Where? In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I believe you'll have to agree with me that this scripture is very, very clear. It leaves no room for argument or doubt. No, God says that the place appointed for the unsaved sinner is a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You know, friends, believe it or not, there are actually people who call themselves Christians who think that God is only speaking figuratively, and they explain these scriptures by explaining them away. I think of those words, wonderful things in the Bible I see, things that are put there by you and by me. Ah, listen, my friend. Don't detract from or add to the Word of God. If God says that it's a place of torment, then it's a place of torment. If God says that it's a lake of fire, then it's a lake of fire. And friend, if you don't believe God's Word regarding a place called hell, then there's one thing sure. 5 seconds after you die, you'll have no reason to doubt it. But it'll be too late then. Your chance for salvation will have ceased to exist. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1 we read, He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now the last thing I want you to notice about the wrath of God is the subject of his wrath. In other words, who is it that is the recipient of God's wrath? Well, friend, over in John 3 and 36 we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, friends, here again the word of God is very, very clear. The wrath of God is poured forth upon all those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now the question may be asked, if a person is not trusting in God's Son to save their soul, then what are they trusting in? Well, friend, let me ask you out there in Radio Land today, what are you depending upon to get you into God's heaven? Is it church membership, religious ritual, or perhaps you believe that you'll be in heaven because of your so-called good works? Listen, my friend, in Titus 3 and 5, God declares that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Again in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we're told, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friend, I plead with you today, you who are listening out in Radio Land, still not being saved and born again, can't look back to that time when you trusted Christ as your Savior. I plead with you to look by faith to Calvary, and there behold the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, and if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friends, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, we ask thy blessing upon thy word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some good literature and gospel tracts and things like that, I'll send it to you free and postpaid. Just send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.